Can we try that once more? Because I'm looking at my waveform and I don't see the clap. I think I did too close to the mic.
too quiet a clap.
Yeah.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, mark.
I missed the clap. Let's do that once more.
I'm sorry, I've never clapped before. I don't know how you do it.
Oh, we've only ever been to a bad show. All right.
3, 2, 1, mark.
Okay.
Okay, I heard a clap that time.
Yeah, me too.
It's gonna have to do.
It'll be fine.
We'll make it work in post. yeah, all that's staying in the recording, obviously.
Comedian Tom Walker cannot clap.
Oh, I mean, it's true.
Exclusive.
Yeah, in a Breitbart Australia reports.
New to page 6.
Welcome to this very special bonus episode of Masters of Our Domain. It's monthly movie corner for the month of April. It's April.
Movie corner.
Oh, it's April, and cool boy, have we assembled some fools
movie
for you.
Movie corner.
This April, we have got returning champion, repeat, receiving his
his silver star.
Masters of Our Domain platinum card.
You're starting very precious medals with two appearances getting silver. You're going to run out of elements pretty quick.
Yeah. We're going to have to go up to ones that don't actually exist. Receiving his kryptonite membership.
Adamantium.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Adam and the ants getting their own element there. It is Tom Walker.
What's up?
Welcome, Tom Walker.
A hearty what's up to all Masters of Our Domain listeners. Thank you so much for having me back to discuss this movie, which fucking sucks.
It fucking sucked. I hate it so much.
Yeah, out of respect, because this is a podcast where we respect and admire the great nation of Australia. we have waltzed our Matildas all over the 1986 film Crocodile Dundee, and oh boy, did we all enjoy it!
Oh, what?
It's just fucking awful.
It's bad.
Fucking rubbish. It's so rubbish.
I took notes and I was like, I thought this feels like a bunch of like made for social media tourism sketches that have just been linked together. Like, this feels like an ad character took off and became famous and they wanted to make a feature film of him. And that's kind of what it was, right? Because Paul Hogan was the face of the Chuck a Shrimp on the Barbie campaign for the US tourism market. And then they were just like, oh, they'll watch this guy. The least believable kiss in cinema is between this fucking leather-faced, dog-shit-looking Iggy Pop, like, shy Iggy Pop motherfucker, and this luminous woman they put him with. I mean, fucking hell.
Iggy Pop of the bush. I just want to be your hopping dog.
Ooh, I just want to be your dingo. Now, that's a little bit of fun.
I'd like to start off with a little bit of trivia about the film Crocodile Dundee, which I learned just this moment on Wikipedia. Excellent. I've already told Phoebe this, but the running time for international release was 98 minutes, and 98 minutes of what joy it was. Mm. But it turns out that actually Tom might have watched a slightly longer version than us, because the Australian release was 104 minutes long. What is in those 6 Australia-only minutes?
Oh my God.
The fucking Snyder cut of Crocodile Dundee? Too hot for the international market.
I cannot believe it.
The cut.
Yeah. Just 6 minutes of pure slurs.
That's the bit where they just have Kiss from a Rose in the background.
Yeah.
Like, it was technically the film's theme tune, but it never never appears.
That would be good. Yeah. It's
in the body of the film.
Yeah. That would be particularly impressive chronologically.
You know what that is? I think that's probably the uncoolest joke I've ever made in my entire life.
You heard of this guy Seal? Of course you haven't. He's not famous yet.
heard of these Seals?
I think Seal was famous in 1986, was he not?
I feel like Seal was like a 90s guy.
You could be right.
I've just looked
this was
up.
This was in reference to the fact that in Batman Forever.
Yes.
I think it's Batman Forever.
Yeah, it's like the theme tune of Batman Forever.
It's the theme tune of Batman Forever, but it doesn't appear in the film until not just the credits, until the second credit song.
No.
Yeah.
But yeah, the music video for Seals, Christopher and Rose is all clips from Batman Forever, isn't it? Yeah.
That's so funny.
Was carousing on Batman's clout.
There you go. Whoa. Maybe Seal was Batman.
Care to expand on that?
No. No, he's a wealthy, mysterious man. Tom's found something.
I just looked up because I wanted to see if I'd watched the much-vaunted Australian cut of Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah. That's right.
The uncircumcised version.
Oh, Christ. Yeah, no, it's double uncircumcised. They've chucked a few more foreskins on that thing. It's got all the smell.
The foreskin version. But yeah. Ironic, because he does look like a foreskin.
He's a wrinkly man.
He's got some of the most unappealing fucking handbag skin I've ever done seen.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it. The version I watched was 94 minutes long. And looking at the genres, I mean, this movie has it all, because it's got three genres listed, and they are drama, comedy, and Australian cinema, which I think...
A genre unto itself.
Yeah. I think that means it's drama and comedy. Like, it's fucking... Yeah. This is a nightmare of a flick.
Yeah. Drama, comedy, and Hughesy. The three classic genres of entertainment.
It also has some very irresponsible portrayal of how to kill a crocodile if one encounters one, which I think could have cost a lot of lives, because if people think that they can just jam a knife through a crocodile's head, they're going to have another thing coming.
It's a good job that Steve Irwin didn't use this film as the basis for his crocodile training.
No, thank goodness.
Steve Irwin, God rest him, he was a crocodile botherer. He was. He was a crocodile.
Do you think the crocodile community viewed Steve Irwin as a sort of scourge on them?
Yes, I do. I do think that.
Yeah, because
he was a croc botherer.
I agree with you, Phoebe. Guy gets in and wrestles you.
Well, as a crocodile, what do you think if you see Steve Irwin coming is not like, my life is in danger, because at this point you know his reputation, but you are thinking, well, I'm putting that off till tomorrow. All of my plans are cancelled at this point. It's like when you're at a party and you've got like a few people you want to hang out with, but suddenly a real punishing hang just collars you and is like, so how have you been? It's like, oh, fuck, well, there goes the next... You know, you just see the next few hours of your life drift off into this person. That's with Steve
Irwin is the crocodile equivalent of bumping into the guy from Smash Shakespeare on Arthur's seat.
Yes.
Steve Irwin, again, peace be upon him. Peace be upon... Do I mean peace
the prophet
be upon
Steve Irwin?
Prophet Steve Irwin, yeah, peace be upon him. May he be resting peacefully.
Possibly a more Australian take than even I can come up with.
The prophet Steve Irwin.
Yeah.
Peace be upon him.
Yeah, he's good.
Or as we call it in Australia, peacely doosily.
Fucking hell, the Pax Australis is spinning in its grave.
Tom's face there.
I think the crocodile's just like, he's fucking seen us. No, he's seen us. Mm. We can't pretend we haven't seen him. Like, just grit your teeth. Grit your teeth. Get through it. Just don't catch his eye.
Can you believe it? He turned to Marie and he said, "Would you look at the size of this bastard?" She'd just given birth 3 weeks ago. I think it was quite insensitive.
I think that stuff is really against the pale. Yeah.
Steve Irwin was an extrovert, and crocodiles are famously introverts.
Myers-Briggs type of a crocodile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you find in this film that my overwhelming feeling was in a...
Yeah.
I know we are living in a post-Wolf Creek world, but even pre-Wolf Creek, I think I would have... My prevailing takeaway from this film would be, this man is going to murder this woman. Because he is one of the most threatening presences I've ever seen.
He's very like...
He's very unblinking.
Yeah.
Unblinking.
Have you guys seen Wolf Creek?
I have not. I was literally just about to ask you what Wolf Creek is.
Okay, so Wolf Creek is an Australian horror movie, which like is
that's why I haven't seen it.
From the classic genre of Australian cinema.
Yes, this is the genuinely the drama comedy, and then this is the Australian horror. But this
what
is,
sort of movies do you like? I'm really into Australian cinema.
I've been really getting into Australian stuff recently. Yeah, it's kind
there
of the new Korean.
There are some very good Australian films. I'll there have are. You know, me at least. Five. I can think of four. I can think of five.
We've all seen the Bobcatter homosexuals clip.
Oh, so good.
That's have Australian cinema.
That is, yeah. We have a certain
people
politician.
Are entitled to their sexual proclivities.
Oh yeah, no. Sorry, I know I have seen that. Sorry. Excuse
He's incredible.
So what happens in Wolf Creek? Is there a wolf?
In Wolf Creek, it features a character who is essentially his name is also Mick. And he is like an Aussie outback guy who is incredibly charismatic and incredibly charming. But he also is the most evil person in existence. And the way he tortures the backpackers in the movie is horrifying. And it is drawn from actual crimes that happened. And so seeing with the knowledge of that character in your mind and looking at fucking Crocodile Dundee and knowing what happens when people go off into the bush alone sometimes, it is fuck. I don't know. Maybe. Oh, I found this movie chilling at times. The amount of times. the amount of times he just was holding a rock, like a knife.
Chilling.
Looking at her.
Chilling.
Yeah, the moments when, like, the journalist, like, left Crocodile Dundee and was just, like, walking through the bush on herself, and he was shadowing her. He was up in the trees like a jungle cat looking down at her. It was fucking terrifying.
Like the Predator.
Yes.
Just the Predator vision, but it just picks out VBs or whatever.
Yeah. He's keeping track of her with the alcohol content on her body. It was fucking nightmare. Yeah.
Well, I was going to I have a controversial take on this.
Okay.
And that is, if he had turned out to be a knife-wielding murderer, that's fine, and she would have deserved it, because she may well be extremely fit, but she's also, like, and she's an unimpeachably loathsome person. She's so fucking horrible.
They're all so bad.
They all suck. The only person who doesn't suck is like, and he does suck a little bit because he's kind of obnoxious, but like her extremely benighted and beleaguered boyfriend, who is presumably supposed to be kind of Graydon Carter or someone. Like,
bad food restaurants.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Yeah, that's what I expected
to
happen.
He met the crocodile man. He couldn't handle it. He met the crocodile man. He said, oh no, I'm so scared of the crocodile man. Pathetic. Pathetic. Terrible.
Yeah.
Should we just go through this piece of shit? Like, which by the way, my main objection to it is it felt like watching, like, one of the kind of earlier and less successful, like, Noah Baumbach films, except like it's about a fucking walking handbag and the worst fucking broad who's ever existed.
Given how long this film is, the Wikipedia summary is unjustifiably four paragraphs.
Yeah, that's because nothing happens.
So
nothing happens.
Just start.
It's basically literary fiction.
it's like a Pinter play, but about a crocodile man. So I'm just going to start reading the Wikipedia summary. Stop me at any point. Sue Charlton, that's the journalist, is a feature writer for her father's newspaper, Newsday. Okay, now that part is entirely accurate.
One of the least charming things I can think for a character to be. Maybe back in 1986, that was a value, like a position of value.
Oh, the family
but immediately,
business.
Yeah, when it comes to a fucking opinion columnist writing for her father's paper, I'm like, oh my.
Right? Right at the start when she's just like, oh, I kind of feel like going to Australia to write a story about this guy who I heard about who got bitten by a crocodile. And I'm like, I know the 1980s was very different, but where are they getting that kind of budget? And then it transpires that she's basically supposed to be like Elizabeth Murdoch, and I'm like, no, that makes you even worse.
Yeah.
And also, you should know about Australia. At what point was someone getting bitten by a crocodile in Australia ever newsworthy? Can you believe it? This guy in Australia has been bitten by a crocodile.
If
someone in New York got bitten by a crocodile, that would be newsworthy.
That's news.
Man bites dog.
Hey, whoa, what the fuck?
Man bites crocodile.
They got crocodiles in a fucking subway news. Now.
Day, how does this thing get between my hot dog bun? And now that's fun. And I can do the accent too.
There is a long-running urban myth that the sewers of New York are full of crocodiles.
Mm.
Because people like buy baby crocodiles as pets and stuff, and then get an immense shock when baby crocodiles suddenly start to get larger.
This wasn't part of the deal.
And so flush them down.
I was told
down,
it was a micro crocodile.
The loo.
I
think it's micro
flushing pigs. A crocodile
it's
down
a
the loo
thing.
Has to be a moment. flushing a crocodile down the loo has to be a moment where you're like, I've taken a wrong turn somewhere. We're just watching it rotate, putting a little bit more toilet paper on top of it, maybe putting toilet paper down on the bowl so when you drop the crocodile in, the splash doesn't hit you. Like, that's a dark
day.
Like
sort of getting it by the tail and just being like, just tamp it down.
At what point
are
you noticing the crocodile's too
down.
Big, but it's still small enough to flush down the toilet? That's quite a narrow window.
Oh, yeah. There's literally like two days.
God. You're not doing that with an 8-foot crocodile.
You've got, well, no, the 8-foot crocodile, you just got to like carry that outside and just chuck it in the canal.
Like CJ DeMuey.
The crocodile will be growing so fast that you have to be carrying the crocodile and running to the toilet because you have like a 30-second window in between noticing that this is not going to stop.
Your flatmate's banging on the bathroom door
flushable.
And you're wrestling a 10-foot crocodile into the toilet bowl going like, occupado.
Open the lid, it's in its growth period.
Yeah. Mm. I'm doing cocaine. I'm doing wonderful, delicious cocaine. Mm. Sorry.
That's
oh,
right.
Man. It's a fucking bummer.
You could do cocaine off the back of your crocodile.
I think if I was flushing a crocodile down the toilet, Ridgy. Quite the opposite. I would feel like I had conquered nature. I would feel like I was a god. Flushing a crocodile down the toilet. What is a greater declaration of like no gods, no masters than doing that? What a decadent act. Putting a little like handkerchief over my face as I do it. Like eating an ortolan.
We're not talking about this again. Like, I'm not having this conversation with you again about like
drowning
songbirds.
Yeah, I also am someone who I know like three things in the world, and at least two of them are ortolans. So I'm there with you. Yeah. It's a weird thing. As soon as you know about it, you're like, well, I'm bringing this up in every riff I can.
It's like inverse Bader-Meinhof complex. You learn about it, and then you tell everyone else about it. Mm. Mm. There you go.
You couldn't get a member of the Bader-Meinhof down a toilet. They're all too big.
No. And then if you did, you'd never hear the end of it. Is that the most obnoxious joke we've ever made on this show? It might be.
Oh my god.
It's definitely up there.
I'll tell you what, I've got a Bader-Meinhof complex with my fucking wife. Can't get a shower.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay, so it opens with it opens with this features journalist saying, I quite fancy going to Australia.
Yeah. Her dad owns the newspaper and her boyfriend is the editor.
So again, they're really setting her up as being a really, really sympathetic and
there aren't many things that this film portrays completely accurately, but the media is one of them.
Yeah. It is you want to keep this stuff under wraps immediately. Is accurate, but none of this is protagonist stuff.
No.
But also, she is, you know, very beautiful, and that buys you certainly a lot of time.
It really does, I have to say. Yeah. I mean, we've had this conversation about Julia Louis-Dreyfus in Seinfeld. I'm just distracted every time she's on the screen. It's not quite the same level with old Sue, but, you know, she's still a handsome woman.
She is a very handsome woman.
And it's been a long pandemic.
But she also... delivers her lines like she is a extremely well-hidden female serial killer. When her editor boyfriend at the start says, like, you know, be very careful when you go to Australia to meet crocodiles, she goes, I will be. I'm a New Yorker. And it's like, that's...
I flushed him down the toilet.
I'm gonna go and I'm gonna kill him with his own crocodile.
You're looking at me like I've never put a crocodile in my ass. I'm from New York. People from New York love talking about New York as though it's like this incredibly mysterious and unknowable place. Like, talking about like some sandwich and being like, oh, you wouldn't get it. It's a New York thing. You're like,
it's a fucking sandwich.
Mm.
No.
Yeah, they suck.
Yeah.
And also, it seems like it's just like I picture the going to New York, like getting to the swamp level in any Dark Souls game, because it's just like strewn with garbage. It seems like it just smells bad all the time, and everyone's angry constantly. But then, like, greatest city in the world.
You can't go. You can't go to the toilet without a crocodile fucking sticking up its little face at you.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Bringing one out. Did someone leave this?
Got stuck in the U bend.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I just want to do another flatmate conference. Seems like if we're going to flush our crocodiles, can we at least leave the seat down once we're done with it? Also, I've just read enough to understand the Bader Meinhof joke. Thank you so much. I was doing some real frantic Googling there. I now believe I understand the Bader Meinhof joke. If anyone else is looking to get it, you want to search
that on your bingo
not
cards.
For, yeah, not the Bader Meinhof complex, the film, which is what I initially read quite a lot of the Wikipedia article of. 2008 film, doubtless great.
Yeah.
You want to check out the Wikipedia article, Red Army Faction.
Mm.
And there you go.
Yeah. Bader Meinhof gang were, of course, based on the 2002 video game Red Faction. Yeah.
Did you know that Steve Irwin was actually in the Bader Meinhof?
Really?
Yes, I was SEAL.
That is right. That's where the Navy SEALs come from. Yeah.
By the way, I took notes on this fucking movie.
Yeah, so did I. Hang on.
I had, I think, three gasps throughout this movie of like enjoyable things. I had three enjoyable moments. Mm-hmm. One of them happened very, yeah, they are things I genuinely enjoyed, right, which I was surprised to
find.
Should
we cover them as we get to them?
Yeah. Okay. I'll bring them up when we get to them.
So she travels to Walkabout Creek, a small hamlet in the Northern Territory of Australia, to meet Michael J. Crocodile Dundee. I immediately like that they put the initial in there as though it's like an equity thing. Like there's another Michael Crocodile Dundee, so he has to be Michael J. Crocodile Dundee for the sake of any confusion. Yep. A bushman reported to have lost half a leg to a saltwater crocodile before crawling hundreds of miles to safety.
I don't trust saltwater crocodiles.
But they're so nice.
Crocodiles should stay in the rivers where they belong.
You're like an ethno nationalist, but for crocodiles. I don't believe in crocodile miscegenation. They shouldn't be in the sea.
I am a crocodile segregationist.
Apartheid crocodile.
So scary. That's the logical evolution of the guy who is like, you know, alligators actually have like a skinny face. But yeah, just getting really into it to the point where it's like the YouTube comments for any Bosnia Serbia fucking video.
Oh god. I fucking love Balkans and like near Middle East like groups getting into an argument. So if you get like Albanians, the Turks, the Greeks and like the Serbs all in one thread, the comments are always amazing. I think Alice did the best satire of this where she was like, it would be like a Greek and an Albanian arguing and then the Albanian will eventually just say like, Albania invent bread, Greece is dog country. Like, that's the ultimate conclusion to any argument.
Yes.
By the way.
Great job, Alice. Wherever you are.
Thank you, Alice, for making that joke at a prior time so that we could enjoy it now.
Maybe that's how we should deal with the problems of the union now. Just get representatives from England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland together.
Mm. And just, in the YouTube comments.
Sound off in the comments.
Yeah, like under a Peter Andre song.
Yeah.
Arguing,
just say Scotland is dog country and everyone lives in a mud hut and,
yeah,
and Wales believes in witches.
Cheese on toast. Scotland is dog country.
Oh my god. Yeah.
That's right.
Wales has close harmony singing, England is bin and nonce country.
Your mother fuck her own ass with leak. Just stuff like that. Just great stuff like that.
That's how they should. That's how they should do the World Cup.
Yeah.
Just like again. Just forget
the World Cup of YouTube comments.
Forget about the football. Just get representatives from each country to yell insults at each other across a pitch.
It is always funny because, like, I don't know. It, you know. obviously this is something where if I looked into it, I would probably have a great opinion about it and it would very much sadden me. But from a comfortable distance, it is very funny to me to see just, you know, people look exactly the same and be like, you are worse than a worm. You are the thing that a worm leaves behind it in its wake. Anyway, this fucking movie.
Worm leavings, do you mean? Like kind of worm debris?
Exactly. Yeah. Precisely.
Like when a worm's finished having a picnic and it doesn't take its rubbish with it.
Yeah, when a worm does that weird madman thing where it just leaves its garbage on the floor.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, glad we got that. Glad we got that clarified.
Yeah, we did. We did promise Tom that we would keep this to an
hour. We did. Yeah. Okay. So this fucking movie.
On arrival in Walkabout Creek.
Thank you.
Sue cannot locate Dundee. Well, I'm not surprised. She's a long way from Scotland. But she is entertained at the local pub by Dundee's business partner Walter Wally Riley.
What do we think of Wally's fit? Because I thought he looked fantastic.
It's a fucking look, isn't it? It's very like 19th century explorer.
Yeah, it is.
High socks on the old man.
Yeah,
he had a kind of Christopher Biggins vibe as well, which I sort of appreciated.
Yeah, you could see him in Panto, the Northern Territories Panto.
So. I'd watch that.
Oh, that would be an amount of racism that I would not recommend to any, even the most racist fan of pantomime.
You mean who wasn't in blackface?
Yeah, geez. That is... Oh.
Hey, there's stolen land and genocide behind you. Oh, no, it isn't.
Yeah. No, that's just stuff. That's happenings. Yeah.
The characters who are supposed to be white are in blackface with white face on top.
Yeah. Everyone has to be in blackface secretly. That's their actor's secret.
That's what gives it a certain sousson of, you know...
They don't have a pantomime dame, they have a pantomime minstrel instead. That's how it's done.
That is right.
In the in Bush Panto.
Yeah, I mean, would you say, Tom, that his fit is a sort of classic Australian look?
I wish. Do you know how happy I would be, like fucking, like calling into this show in my tiny shorts, over thigh high socks, scarf, little cute little jacket. I would love that.
It's a very cute little jacket. Also, because of the extremely peculiar performance that old Wally is putting in there, Wally, like it very much telegraphs that the whole thing is supposed to be like some kind of scam because he's acting very oddly. He's very much acting like he and Crocodile have this whole scam going whereby they...
Please, Mr. Crocodile.
To Mr. Nick. And Mrs. Crocodile.
Her son, Michael J.
So old Crocodile. It very much puts over that he's... they've got this scam running where they get like rich people out to the outback and say that they're going to save them from a crocodile. But that like never transpires. What transpires instead is that that Crocodile Dundee fucking murders someone while disguised as a kangaroo. And she, because she is fucking awful, seems to think this is extremely charming and it makes her want to root him.
I would like to say that when we get to the point in the synopsis where this comes up, it will make more sense, but that pretty much is the size of it actually.
That's the only thing that happens in the whole film.
Yeah,
that really is. This movie sucks. We're getting close to my first gasp, though.
Okay.
When Dundee arrives that night, Sue finds his leg is not missing, but he has a large scar, which he refers to as a love bite. While Sue dances with Dundee, a group of city kangaroo shooters make fun of Dundee's status as a crocodile hunter, causing him to knock the leader out with one punch. This is some very, like, cop press statement. Like, there was a Crocodile Dundee involved knocking out where a man was punched. In a facial manner.
I miss when films introduce the main character by having a like kind of boogie woogie piano bit of soundtrack, like the kind of thing that they have.
Yeah.
When he shows up, because it's not
a mainstay of Australian cinema.
It's not actually quite appropriate.
Part of the form.
Because it's just him having a fight with some men in and a series of sort of increasingly kind of unconvincing leather hats.
And the main amusement in this bar is that there's a really big guy called Donk, and he puts a pint of beer on his head and you punch him in the stomach, and then he doesn't spill the pint of beer. So unaffected is he by being punched in the stomach.
To be fair,
I did have a note here, which is just dudes rock.
Yeah.
That was really cool to me. I thought that was sick.
Tom's going to train to become that
totally
guy.
Totally cool. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a growth industry in Australia. We're returning to classics. Yeah,
that's a new...
You know, that's entertainment in pubs now. Stand-up's out.
That's a new Twitch stream. You just get to watch Tom get punched in the stomach with a beer on his head.
Oh, fuck. I am going to get there. Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck.
Now you've said it.
Oh, no. Just torturing yourself once again.
Oh. I think we're past the gust, which is there was a truck that drove past with three containers on it, and I yelled out loud, "Australian road train," to my girlfriend who was watching it with me, and she turned to me and just kind of stared at me blankly. And I was like, it's the kind of long truck they have in the outback.
Even I know what one of those is.
They're cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think she missed the comprehension. She was just taking stock.
Yeah.
You know?
She was just like, wow, I live with you, huh? That's...
Yeah, not I love you or how do we get here? Just like, how do we disentangle this?
Yeah, oh boy. Yeah. And you're just being like, God, I wish I was as big as that guy.
I wish I was as big as that guy. I wish I had a big truck like that. It seemed
He's
nice.
Such a big guy. The kind of guy who can't be defeated. The kind of guy who can't be defeated by anything except coronary heart disease.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got to kill himself, either from the inside or the outside.
Oh, absolutely. There's a line in Crocodile Dundee 2, which is a far superior film, where one of the bad guys comes up on Crocodile Dundee in the outback and points a gun at him and goes, "You haven't even got a gun." And he goes, "I don't need a gun. I've got a donk." And the huge guy from the bar appears behind him and just like smacks his head into a tree.
Callback.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, donk.
Yeah, hell yeah.
The only thing that can defeat a donk is a badonkadonk. Not sure about that.
Yeah. The thing is that you can't...
Weapons of badonk.
Donks are actually sterile. If you want to produce another one, you have to go back to the original, the cross. they're very strong, but they can't reproduce.
They don't have milk either.
No, but for that reason.
They don't produce milk. Except for that reason, they are either meat or wife.
That is right. Yeah. In the mood taxonomy, everything is meat, milk, or wife. So.
Ah.
Yeah.
I see.
Those are the three genders of thing, Tom. That's what you need to understand.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm.
Okay. No, I get it.
Everything can be categorized, everything on Earth. And that's not just actual objects. That's anything kind of intangible concepts can be sorted.
Bader-Meinhof syndrome. That's
milk.
That's milk. Yeah. The other rule of meat, milk, or wife.
Sorry,
is you can't
elaborate. There was a bit of lag there. I was also saying that it was milk.
Yeah.
I know, and I know what it is too.
That's right.
We are delighted to be joined by the Bader-Meinhof joke understander.
Yeah, has logged the hell on.
The director of the Bader-Meinhof Joke Institute, Tom Walker.
That is right.
My take on Crocodile Dundee at this point in the movie, by the way, is this man makes a great case for... Oh, actually, sorry. This is slightly jumping into the future where he's sitting around a campfire and saying, I've got no opinion on, you know, nuclear weapons or whatever. And I was like, fuck, man. I don't think I live like a good life with the amount that I'm online, but you are making... What you're doing is worse. Like, oh...
Simply just out there just not having opinions. He doesn't know what the Bader-Meinhof complex is.
No.
No.
What a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
What a pathetic little fucking idiot. Yeah. Walking around not knowing what that thing is.
No one's ever mentioned
Bader-Meinhof. Did Google thinking it was a building.
I think it's important to note that at this about a quarter of the way through this film, I sent Milo a message saying you are absolutely unprepared for how horny this film is.
It is horny.
I was pretty unprepared for it.
That's the act we're getting into now. I've decided the four paragraphs of the Wikipedia summary are the four acts of the film. We're now sort of entering the horny
the horny phase.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. because he is... So they go out to the outback together and she sort of, you know, kind of asks lots of kind of, you know, dumb shit city questions. And he says that the journey's going to take twice as long because she's a Sheila. And instead of being like, what the fuck is the matter with you? I'm paying you $2,500. She's like, oh my God, fuck me right this minute.
Yeah. Which what's so funny about that whole thing is that it, like, he sort of couches this in a sexist way, like, oh, you probably can't survive on your own in the bush because you're a woman. And she's like, yes, I can. Whereas the response should be like, well, no, I can't. But the reason for that is because I'm a journalist from New York City. It's got very little to do. You're actually right.
but it does transpire that she's sort of quite handy with a shotgun, which for like a kind of New York media dynasty wasp is actually quite
from New York.
Like, that's a little bit chilling. The
Sometimes
fact that she's
the
so
maid's
good with her
trying
shotgun.
To escape.
Yeah,
you got to do something about it. The Wikipedia summary of this bit is actually very funny. It says, at first, Sue finds Dundee less legendary than she'd been led to believe, being unimpressed by his pleasant-mannered but uncouth behavior and clumsy advances towards her. She is later amazed when in the outback she witnesses Mick, as Dundee is called, as though that's the weird part of his name.
Oh, Jesus.
Subduing
Christ.
A water buffalo, taking part in an aboriginal... tribal dance. They give the aboriginal name, which I'm not going to attempt to pronounce.
Oh yeah, no, I wasn't happy about that bit. And the reason I wasn't happy about that bit is so he's got his aboriginal pal who like makes a joke about it's actually quite like a kind of fun critique of kind of obnoxious white liberalism because he won't let her take a picture of him, and she's like, is it because it'll take away part of your soul? And he's just like, yeah, totally, it's that. But also, no, it's because I look shit today or something. I don't know.
Is that you've got the lens cap on?
No, you've got the lens cap on. Like, yeah. Yeah, like,
yeah, you can't take my
like
picture.
Joking around.
You've got the lens cap
but
on.
But she doesn't know whether or not it's acceptable to take pictures of the other fellas. And she fucking hides in a bush and takes pictures of them anyway.
There you go.
That did not sit right with me.
Mm.
Yeah, that's not great from her. It's that's very bad.
It's very bad.
It's
bad behavior.
It'd be bad no matter what you were doing. I'd say the act of concealing yourself and taking photos.
Don't do that. Mm. Don't do that, Sue.
Oh.
Also, why is she called Sue? Yeah. That's like such a kind of
my mum's called Sue.
Is your mum literally called
Sue? She's literally called Sue.
That's because it's a mum name.
As every woman born in 1954 was, she is called Sue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Every woman and one boy.
Yeah, that's right.
the other time I gasped was actually that taming of the buffalo, which was that when they show the cow, and I said big cow, and I really liked seeing the big cow.
Oh yeah, I like the big cows. Oh. Also, when they do this whole kind of cow whisperer thing, when he goes up to the cow and it like sort of strokes its
cow
horn,
whisperer, like a grade down from the horse whisperer.
Yeah, just like taming the buffalo is a grade up from taming of the shrew.
The milk's not been great this week. Better call in the cow whisperer.
Just like come in.
Well, they'd love to be a horse whisperer, but they're just.
you're very pretty, and we like you. You've got very nice horns. We like your nice.
Cow whisperer
nice head.
Is the job you get into when you're like 5'6" and really wanted to be a horse whisperer, but you just can't.
I was actually thinking about this while we were watching it.
A guy who has a little step ladder to whisper in the horse's ear.
Oh, little guy cow whisperer.
It's called equal opportunities, mate.
I was thinking about this while we were watching.
I'm a bloody good horse whisperer just because I'm of diminutive stature.
That there is something very funny about the word cowboy, which I don't think we properly think about and interrogate.
Yeah.
Because, like...
They were no longer cowboys.
They're cowmen. But Crocodile is a cow man. So he goes up to the cow whisperer, to the cow, and does sort of, when it's sort of blocking the road, and does a bunch of cow whispering and says it's got very nice horns and a very nice face, as all cows do.
That's right.
And the cow is so kind of soothed and comforted by his presence that it lies down in the road. So actually, their problem is, if anything,
worse.
Three times worse than it was before, because you're not moving that cow for nothing.
No. Not now, it's been whispered.
I'm glad. Tom, I'm glad you said big cow when you saw it, because I think I did the same thing.
It's such big a nice cow. Yeah. Phoebe, you were so
this
right.
A lovely, just a lovely creature.
A wonderful lad.
It's lovely to see a cow.
Yeah, just lovely, gentle eyes. Nice big cut. Nice man, big calm fucking fellas. The big necks.
Yeah.
I didn't
know they had those lads in Australia.
What, cows?
No, but those kind of like buff. It's not exactly a cow, is it? It's like a buffalo sort of
cow.
Thing.
I believe it's a buffalo. Yeah.
I didn't realize that they were, because obviously they have cows in Australia, but they're not native to Australia. People brought them there, but it's obvious why you would bring cows to Australia for farming purposes. But I don't know if buffalo are native to Australia or whether people brought them there for some kind of like fucked up reason.
This is the thing. I assume everything that's in Australia is there for a fucked up reason. No offense, Tom.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, speaking personally, no, you're right about me as well.
Water
buffalo
probably
were imported to Australia in the 19th century to supply meat to remote northern settlements. The settlements and their buffalo were abandoned in 1949. Huh. Interesting.
I was going to say something deeply obnoxious about it being like where the criminal buffalo go. They send them off to buffalo prison.
I killed a cow whisperer.
Interestingly. Yeah.
Gordon
yeah,
to
they
death.
Whispered something I didn't like. Found offensive.
Yeah.
Oh God. This.
He said moo in a silly voice, so I fucked him up.
Making fun of me.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe now is, by the way, the point for me to give my point of research for this movie, which is, did you know that Crocodile Dundee is based on a real story in part?
No. I didn't know that.
So this is based on the story of Rod Ansell, who was born in 1954.
Oh, surprised he wasn't called Sue.
Very close. Yeah. Very close to the cutoff date. He was born in 1954, and he died in 1999. Mm-hmm. But it was his story became famous
life.
All around the world. Yes. He survived for 56 days in the Northern Territory. Mm-hmm. And that became a story that ran around the world, and he became an inspiration for Paul Hogan's character. In 1999, and this kind of lends credence to my feelings about Crocodile Dundee, he, in a methamphetamine-addled rage, was killed in a shootout by the policemen of the Northern Territory after killing two policemen in a roadblock.
Wow.
Shit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
He had been raving about the Freemasons.
Well, to be fair.
I mean, he had some points.
It's so funny to me that someone who lives in, like, the extremely rural Northern Territories, like a bush guy, would be at all vexed about the Freemasons.
Oh, they're everywhere. There's a bush lodge.
Mm.
It's very funny that, like, a guy who spends all of his time out in the bush, you know, like, killing crocodiles or whatever, is concerned about, like, who controls the banks. Like, that to me is like you don't use a bank.
Yeah.
I don't think the Freemasons.
Yeah, but, you know, they're
the
always
bank.
Just around the corner.
Milo,
who do you think controls
mine,
the banks?
Excuse
me. You?
I'll tell
How
you
dare
who controls
steal
the banks.
My valor.
Yeah.
Freemasons.
The Freemasons.
They wouldn't have the fucking work ethic.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know who the Freemasons did originally control?
Who?
They originally controlled association football.
Oh.
The rules of football as they stand at the moment were written by the Freemasons.
That's why you have to wear, one leg has to be in a full length trouser and one leg in a short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why no one understands all the rules, because at least half of them are written in this kind of
you got regular football, you got Aussie rules, and then you've got Mason rules.
And then you've got the Snyder's Cut, which is like 4.5 hours long, and there's a cow in the field for some reason.
The Snyder Cut is where everyone has to have circumcision.
Yeah.
And angled.
And they just like yell.
Yeah.
Just yell slurs at each other.
Yeah. This is a joke from a previous episode of Mood, Tom, where we were talking about the Snyder Cut being like a circumcision, but it gives you like an emo fringe. It's like an asymmetrical.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I greatly appreciate being caught up. Yep. I was like, man, I need to get into this movie. If you want to watch me, if you want to get me to watch a 4-hour long superhero movie, about the only way you're going to get me across the line is saying, by the way, during it, you get to see some circed and uncirced dom. And I'm not telling you where, but it pops up. Okay.
That's the mystery of the Snyder Cut.
I would like to talk about the conversation they have around the campfire when she decides that she is totally wet for him. And she's talking about her ex-husband, and she's saying about how he's the original rebel and how he's very politically engaged and aware.
Oh, fuck, yeah, this bit.
And how this is when she she challenges him on his view the nuclear arms race, which she's very, very surprised and horrified that he has no view. And she says that, he used to march for everything. He used to march for against nuclear arms. He used to march for women's lib. He's probably marching now for the gay Nazis.
Yeah. Some of the most cognitively dissonant people.
The gay Nazis.
Yeah.
Mm.
Three people wrote the script for this film. I don't know how many people are on script editing. I don't know how many people were on editing.
Yeah.
I don't know how many cuts it went through before they were sort of
Snyder
the
or
cut.
Otherwise.
Like, well, quite. But at no point in this process did anybody say, "What does this mean?" Now he's probably marching for the gay Nazis. Why?
So Phoebe, do I take it that you are against the policy of queering the Nazi Party from the inside and affecting positive change?
Look, okay. I appreciate.
Nazi plus.
I actually appreciate. I mean, Nazi party. I appreciate that they've been listening. They've been learning. Mm. They've been trying to grow. We definitely in the community definitely appreciate. I'd sort of stop concentrating for like 2 minutes, and then she says like, "Yeah, he's probably marching for the gay Nazis now."
It did trip
and
me
I was
up
like,
that bit.
And I was like, I must have missed something really important and explanatory. Yeah. So I rewound it and I was like, "No, I didn't." She just said, that's the purest possible non sequitur.
She just imagines a guy who gets off on marching for ever more extreme things, and he's just in search of the next thrill. And so like to him, like those people who go down weird sexual rabbit holes and they get to a point where like you have to like hit them with a shoe otherwise they can't nut, like he is like the protesting equivalent of that, where like he has to protest for something so inscrutable that you can't even really say what it's about.
Yeah, you know, I was with every single social justice movement and just quite honestly just wasn't hitting anymore.
Yeah, I'm with a vegan NRA.
I need a vegan NRA. There might be you could be a vegan member of the NRA.
Yeah.
There's no reason why meat eating goes. You can't be a gay Nazi. That's a very tough.
No, be a gay Nazi.
Those two things are sort of antithetical.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
You know who?
Much like you can't be a freshwater saltwater crocodile.
Yeah, okay. First of all, you can't be a saltwater crocodile. If you're in the salt, you're not a crocodile. You're just a big lizard.
Mm.
No, don't take this away.
You're a toothy whale.
We love the saltwater crocodile. I used to work at a
just
place
a
that was, they fucking are, and they are terrifying.
They are, I hate them.
I used to work at a place, I used to work at the Sydney Aquarium, doing like one of the worst jobs, which was when people came in, you'd quickly take their photo. I'd fight the crocodile, and every day I would have to lose. I was the Washington Generals to the Crocodiles Harlem Globetrotters. Boy, did they style on me. That death roll, they start spinning in a vertical axis, it's like, okay, don't need to make me look like an idiot. we were right next to the wildlife park, which was run by kind of the same people. So there was this like weird triple threat of good to dog shit attractions, which were all run by the same people. And you'd kind of work at all three of them interchangeably. And there was the aquarium, there was the wildlife kind of park, and there was the Madame Tussauds Wax Museum.
Uh-oh.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
They have a wax model of a crocodile?
No.
They have a wax model of
honestly,
Steve Irwin?
I think they did, yeah. I'll say this, the wax models they had were visibly not their best, you know. You didn't get the sense that they were taking things down from a plinth in London and sending them over.
Oh, no.
But they had like a huge crocodile on display at the wildlife park. Who was I think called Brute or something.
Oh, no.
And the history of Brute was they tried to get him to share a cage at one point, and then they came back and checked on him, and the crocodile they left in the cage with him was just gone.
Oh, my God.
Crocodile, so they are terrifying beasts. Yeah.
What'd you do with the other croc, Brute? You can't have eaten the whole thing.
Just wearing, he's just wearing beautiful shoes.
He's got a very stylish new bag.
He's got a cool new jacket. Brute looks incredible today. Yeah. If only Joanna was around to see him.
She would have loved it. It's a shame that she disappeared just as he acquired those wonderful new boots and handbag.
Anyway, saltwater crocodiles fucking are cool, but awful.
To be fair, like, because Marlo and I had a conversation about this, like, literally just the other night. We were just talking about crocodiles, and I was saying about how I am absolutely terrified of them, but I do respect them. And that's, I think, my position on all on crocodiles and alligators. I don't
sort of
really
the opposite
accept
of how I feel about improv people.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't like them either.
No. I don't think either should exist, but I'm not scared of improv people and I don't respect them.
At least I understand that improv has evolved. Actually, maybe it hasn't. Maybe, in fact, maybe handshake meme, two things that have evolved to be the perfect versions of themselves.
Improv is sort of an evolutionary
improv
lacuna.
And crocodiles,
it's a bit like the Neanderthal gene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm saying.
And quickly Googling a lacuna.
It's somewhere where you might find a saltwater crocodile.
It was the a member of the Baader-Meinhof gang.
Lacuna Baader-Meinhof.
Oh, good. Lacuna was one of the big ones,
That's right.
He was the one wearing that big hat all the time. Yeah,
the two
we
guys
love that
in
gang.
The Baader-Meinhof gang, Lacuna and Matata.
You may have a gun, but I have a lacuna.
That is right.
God, these... I just looked down at my notes and remembered how much we haven't even gotten to the gun bit.
Yeah, it's
true. I think we can kind of whip through this because not much happens in this film.
There is a weird moment here where he's like, so one of the things about Crocodile Dundee is that he was raised by indigenous. He was raised as part of like an indigenous tribe, right?
Yeah.
And his stance on things when he's like, you know, oh, the indigenous people, you know, they want the land back. What's your take on that? And he's like, oh, it's fleas fighting over, you know, the same dog. And it's like, yeah, but also I feel like that's not the take that you would have at that point being close to the indigenous community. They're like, boy, they sure do keep killing us in prison and taking our kids away. It's really weird. They fucking are addicted to that.
Yeah.
It's a very weird moment because it is like as woke as things got in the 80s.
Yeah.
Which is to say, a nod to the wisdom of the indigenous people and being like, ah, they're a wonderful, wise, and ancient people. And just kind of the inherent thing there is like, and they're not sore losers either. You know?
They're pretty good sports about the whole colonialism
thing. We were just fleas who happened to be much more murderous and with much better weapons. So that's how that happened. I just love the idea that he's not just like a libertarian. He's like a libertarian who has like sort of a very poor understanding of analogy.
Yeah. The thing is that one of the fleas, if the flea got control of the dog and decided to class the other fleas as fauna and flora. Yeah. Rather than recognizing that they are fleas and saying they are essentially rocks that you can pick up and chuck as much as you like.
His position being like, well, we're all the same deep down, aren't we? It's like, that's not the argument.
less than the guys you grew up with, huh?
That's not the argument, that's weird. Crocodile. Mm. I don't think you're so good with the understanding.
We all get eaten by crocs just the same.
They start with all of us.
Well, yeah.
He doesn't because he is the scourge of the crocodile.
You know that crocodiles don't eat you right after they've killed you. They keep you in a kind of little larder thing in the riverbank to soften you up.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like that.
No, neither do I. Crocodiles suck. Fuck you, crocodiles.
You think that the crocodile's going to change its fucking schedule around eating you? It's got things to do.
Yeah.
It's got, like, you know, a fucking buffalo somewhere stuck under a rock that it's been fucking soaking.
And it's got a book club.
They're a beautiful beast. Yeah. And it's still got book club.
It's got a Twitch stream to do.
Crocodiles on Twitch.
Oh, I'd tune into that.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, that's right. You can make the crocodile wear a wig.
No.
A few bits. Right.
God.
So basically, that he wards. There is like some city boys who are out there murdering kangaroos, and then he dresses up as a kangaroo and shoots back at them to scare them off.
And kills one of them.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't kill one of them.
Absolutely
he doesn't.
Does.
No,
he doesn't shoot any of
the lights on their cars.
No. We rewound the bit and like slowed it down. He definitely shoots one of them like clean off the truck, and he does not go to check whether or not he's killed him. He is almost certainly dead.
The three shots that I remember is he shoots the guy's gun out of his hand. He shoots the guy's fucking his light.
And then
he shoots
the
light
out.
And then he shoots the guy's beer out of his hand as well.
There's definitely
Australia is worse than murder.
That is murder.
Yeah.
I think technically in Australia, a beer is classed as a person, right?
Listen, either I can't tell. I think he's aiming for their heads every single time.
It's just a shit shot.
Maybe.
He just fucks
up constantly.
He would like to be a murderer, but he just doesn't have the hand-eye coordination.
The only thing he's good at is killing
bumbling
a crocodile.
Bumbling Clouseau-esque murderer.
Yeah. So he saves her. So he saves her from a crocodile, even though, like, what kind of fucking dipshit is, like, in the, like, Australian bush and, like, goes, like, kind of for a nice little kind of paddle and fill up of the water bottle?
Well, hang on, yeah, let's get to this, because they have this argument about how she can't go off on her own because she's a Sheila. And she's like, she sets out to prove him wrong.
That's when she indicates that she could shoot his head off if she fancied it.
Yeah, and then strips down into a swimming costume, and this is like one of the hornier bits of the film, as the camera is sort of zooming in on this absolute dump truck ass situation she's got going on. As she's like squats down, and Mick Dundee is stalking her through the trees, or presumably staring at her ass.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. It's a
wagon. Great ass.
It's an absolute wagon, and you get a hint of you get a kind of wagon preview earlier on in the film, because she's wearing some quite neat little kind of like mum jeans, and like as soon as she turns around, just like she's got a wagon, and George is like, no, stop it. Stop that this minute. And I was like, that is a wagon.
I love that in your relationship, you're the bloke. Oh, Phoebe.
Come on.
Stop. We're trying to enjoy the film. You're like, look at
disgusting.
The arse on
look
that.
Look at that.
Yeah.
All right, give a walk for me, crocodile.
Lovely son.
Lovely bum. That's what that is.
When you're watching like a movie from the 80s or 90s, it's weird remembering that arses kind of ceased to exist for a moment in like the noughties.
Yeah. Mm.
Like suddenly the Keira Knightley body became a thing. And then like it's just a fucking desert of arse.
Okay.
That entire cinematic
it's
era.
A really
As
good
Foucault
t-
would
is,
say, the
it
desert
is a
of the arse.
Really, really good time for me to bring up the fact that I am a J-Lo butt truther. Because I remember in the late 90s and early
the truth about the butt.
Early aughts, everything was about Jennifer Lopez's juicy round wagon, and no one could shut up about it. It was not even that juicy and round. It really, really wasn't. It was really quite small. If you look up a picture of Jennifer Lopez from like 2002, 2003, that's like, honestly, it's pathetic. It's a pathetic showing. She doesn't have anything on Sue.
There you go.
Definitely
Let
not
me
in
just
her,
close.
Her one piece.
Should have been all about Sue.
Just closing my search tabs for Beta Meinhof Group and Lacuna and typing in J, and it's autofilled to Jennifer Lopez as. And just clicking on the link from my history. Yeah. And yes, there's that wonderful thing.
I'm not saying it's not nice. It's just not especially big. It's like it's the cow whisperer of asses, whereas Sue has got a horse whisperer.
Yeah, a horse whispering ass.
Wagon, wagon, wagon.
And so then she goes to fill up her water bottle in her swimming costume, bending down. The wagon is out. Mick Dundee is watching. She's filling up a water bottle.
The wagon is rolling down the track.
A very unconvincing animatronic Chuck E. Cheese ass crocodile pops out of the water and bites her water bottle and is like shaking it to and fro, and she's still got the water bottle tied around her neck, and she's just sort of going ah, and she doesn't think to just like remove the water bottle strap from her head.
Also, the It's so funny to be a thirsty crocodile.
Yeah.
I just want a little drink.
Give us a drink, will you, love? It's all salt water in here.
Give us.
I'm thirsty.
Yeah.
Well, this salt water's too spicy. Yeah. It's a fucking... Yeah. Oh, yeah, he just fucking plunges a knife into this croc.
He does, right through the head.
Yeah.
Right through the head.
He doesn't fuck about Crocodile Dundee.
That would not kill a crocodile. It wouldn't.
I don't know. I think if you get it through the head, it would.
No. Its skin is so, so thick. It's basically like armor. The only place of vulnerability on a crocodile is its eyes. If you want to get away from a crocodile, you've got to like just poke it in the eyes and then it'll like release its grip. It's the only area of vulnerability. Yeah. And I found this out because I was Googling.
Even if you
it.
Have a weapon. I mean, if you're using your bare hands, sure. You're not going to do any damage to a crocodile like that.
You're not going to do any damage to a crocodile with a knife. You're simply not.
That's the Phoebe Roy
you're
promise.
You're simply not.
No way.
You're just dreaming if you
now,
think you're going
to
do
taking
that.
Tom's interpretation, I like to think that maybe the crocodile was trying to save her. Was trying to warn her about Mick Dundee.
Mick Dundee had slipped some cyanide in that fucking bottle.
I think the crocodile should have killed her because she is fucking despicable, and I hate her.
She's really
she's
bad.
Awful. Her wagon may well be excellent and heart shaped, but
the amount of cheating in this movie, emotional and physical, is. So surprising to me. And I know we're not up to that point yet, but there's a point in this movie where she takes Crocodile Dundee, who she's made out with twice, to a dinner where her then boyfriend, who she has not told about either of these things, proposes to her and she accepts. It's fucked. There's nothing likable about this character.
What's like completely fucked is that when she's like, come to New York with me, she's very much suggesting come to New York. This is after they like totally make out.
She explicitly says that it's like to fuck.
Yeah.
Basically.
Like, she's like,
yeah,
come to New York with me and then like rail me to pieces. What she actually means is come to New York with me and I will force you to come out to dinner with me and my boyfriend, of whom I have said nothing.
Yeah, and he was also a huge bell end.
He is a bell end. Actually, no, I think
he's
all right.
Yeah, and then they don't break up.
I don't mind the boyfriend. I think he is the wronged party.
Well, he is the wronged party.
Yeah.
But he does seem deeply annoying.
Yeah, you know he does. Although, you know that actor died last year of COVID.
Oh.
I saw, yeah.
Very sad.
Once in New York, Mick is perplexed by local behavior and customs, but overcomes problematic situations, including two encounters with a pimp and two attempted robberies. After this, Sue realizes her true feelings for him, and they kiss.
There's also a bit where he physically assaults a drag queen, which you're supposed to think is very charming and funny and kind of, you know, down to earth, but is actually just really horrible.
Yeah, I didn't read that as a drag queen. I read that as a bit of, you know, the old fashioned straight up transphobia.
I read the character as a drag queen. He's never come across a drag queen before, and
I believe it's portrayed by a biologically female actor.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, it's just so. There's a moment in a bar
he's chatting
where
chatting her up, right?
And he's chatting her up, yeah, and then someone else is like, "Oh, you know, that's a man." And so he grabs her by the dick, and he's doing this to check, and she is like obviously extremely upset and humiliated by this, and everyone in the bar thinks it's extremely funny. And presumably you're not supposed to find this a very, very unsympathetic thing to have done. He also asks the cab driver what tribe he's from, because they kind of lose track of what they want him to be. And instead of just being like, oh, well, you know, he's a kind of sensible, down home kind of man of the land. He's not interested in all your fancy New York stuff, and decide to make him like a kind of idiot savant instead.
Yeah.
It's like, because presumably he has met non-Aboriginal black people or knows that such a thing exists.
Yeah, I don't
not
know.
Not such a thing, you know it's what I mean? Like, he knows there are black people in the world who are not part of
He doesn't
the
know what an
Australian
escalator is. Like, it's all just kind of, you don't really believe it.
Yeah, it basically turns into George of the Jungle about three quarters of the way through.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, then there's this like kind of weird sort of like...
You're half expecting to go, what the bloody hell is a woman?
Is this like a kind
I've heard of Sheila's. I've never heard of a woman before.
Like kind of cuck play that she's like involving him in.
That'd be quite nice though, if it, you know, if at the bar they were like, you know, she's a guy, and he's like, bloody hell, isn't everyone?
Yeah.
What are you?
That would be much more delightful.
I tell you, out in the bush there are two kinds: there's guys and crocs, and I know which I'd rather be.
I know which I'd put my knife through the head of.
That's right.
God. Yeah, either. Yeah. He's very man knife. He does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's
and
fucking
he,
got
yeah,
a murder
he
in his eyes.
He doesn't know what sex work is.
No. I don't think he knows what sex is.
It's true, because they snog, but then he was just like, okay, so I guess we're married now.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, and then she, yeah, like, yeah. But because you don't get any sense of this woman's character or motivations beyond her kind of like smirking and sneering and saying, I'm a New Yorker. So you don't really get like what she like. She doesn't. There's like no point at which she's like kind of looking kind of apologetic or kind of twitching or even sort of like, oh yeah, like I know I totally suggested that we were gonna fuck and I know I totally made out with you, but you're coming out to dinner with me and my boyfriend and you're gonna have to watch us like slobbering all over each other. Oh, and also
I want you here.
And also you're gonna have to watch him proposing to me. Again, I'm not even going to like look at you in a kind of, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize this was going to happen. She is and getting off
also,
on the attention.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. And for the boyfriend, he is invited to that dinner after after Crocodile Dundee knocks him out, knocks the boyfriend
like
out at
he's
a dinner.
He's in New York for like...
Just quickly cold cock fucking coward punch King
yeah,
hits
he's
him.
He's in New York for like 24 hours and he seriously assaults three people.
Yeah.
He's a menace. Yeah. They should put him back on his prison island.
It's also absolutely
with the criminal buffalo.
Remarkable that he's out on the street and he encounters these two women who are dressed extremely over the top in like fishnet stockings and whatever, like walking at the, and then begins talking. So they're like, oh, these two ladies are very friendly. And then a guy who is obviously a pimp comes over and is like, well, are you going to fuck him or not? And he's like, well, what business is it of yours, my good man? This is like, what?
I shouldn't say that's my business to decide. Yeah, it's very...
Say one thing for Crocodile Dundee. He's definitely not a rapist. He definitely has a kind
of...
clear understanding of consent. He's like, well, it's not up to me whether or not I'm going to screw them. It's up to them. And it's like, you know what? Thank you for your allyship, Crocodile Dundee.
I love also like the underlying implication there of like any man would obviously have sex with any woman. It is up to any woman at any time to decide if she wants to have sex with any man. That's how
women
it works.
Women are the gatekeepers of the pussy.
That is Phoebe Roy, 2021.
Yes.
That is.
Oh my God. What a beautiful quote. Can't wait to see the black and white photo of you just behind that Phoebe.
Absolutely.
Posted.
Yeah. Like if Phoebe dies and that's what runs on BBC One, just over like some soft Celine Dion.
Yeah. As long as you choose a cute picture of me, that's fine.
Yeah.
The limousine driver, by the way, who appears in this film, I don't know if you guys recognized him, but he's the shot a kid. Guy from Die Hard.
No way.
Yes, indeed. It's the phone cop from Die Hard.
Fuck.
Well, there
it's,
you go.
2 years before that role. What a treat to see him.
So I've got a question for you.
Crocodile Dundee should have been in Die Hard. That would have been great.
They should have had a crocodile in Die Hard.
John McClane and Paul Hogan.
Like on a Freddy versus Jason.
Now I've got a donk. Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, God. Yeah, I would have given a lot to see Crocodile Dundee riddled with bullets falling down a fucking shaft.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Yippee-ki-yay. Oh, where's he then?
that's what we call this kind of snake. Yippee-ki-yay.
That's some kind of American Yahoo series.
That's what we call kookaburra.
That's right. That is.
Could have picked charitably almost any bird.
So I've got a question for you.
We're on to paragraph four. We're on the home stretch here.
A little bit of material for fact corner Phoebe's of movie
fact
corner.
Corner.
Phoebe's fact corner.
First of all, women are the gatekeepers of the pussy.
True or false?
Would you boys imagine that this particular film, you boys, would you imagine that it was successful or unsuccessful at the box office?
I know the answer to this.
So I know the answer to how successful this film is. It is completely baffling. I feel like I have a pretty diverse taste in films. I can understand things I don't enjoy being successful. This, even making its budget back, is such a mystery to me. Much less, you know, leading a boom in cinema and like genuinely being an international sensation. I hated this film and I thought it offered nothing.
It was the second highest grossing film in the US in 1986.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The second.
It's the highest grossing film in Australia of all time.
Of all time. It won a Golden Globe.
I love the idea that just how that's you appeal so to the Australian
yeah,
market
won
is
a Golden Globe.
What for? Most crocodiles. There's not even that many crocodiles
well,
in it.
Well, Paul Hogan's dad is in charge of the Golden Globes.
He's amazing,
so,
actually.
They had to introduce a crocodile category for that year. Yeah, it was for Best Original Screenplay.
Best Supporting Crocodile.
Best Original
Best
Screenplay.
Best Original Screenplay?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Was no other screenplay written in
that
Hollywood
bit about the gay Nazi?
The screenplay
okay,
sucks.
Now I'm concerned whether or not I'm actually making this up or whether I dreamed this. 1 second. Crocodile Dundee, Golden Globe.
The last paragraph. At a society dinner at her
Fuck
father's
me.
Home in honor of Sue's safe return and of Mick's visit. Like, why wouldn't she return safely from Australia? Like, I love that they think that she's like going to like fucking, I don't know, like a civil war in the Congo or something. Like, she's just going to Australia, mate.
She's going on one of her 7 gap years. by the way, I have the awards. Okay. Academy Award, nominated for Best Screenplay, nominated for Best Screenplay at the BAFTAs as well. Mm. Golden Globe won. Paul Hogan won for Best Actor.
Unbelievable.
I cannot
Unbelievable.
Believe it.
Were there literally Truly. No other films out? Yeah, so he didn't win the Golden Globe for Best Original Screenplay, but they did. Mm. He was nominated for an Academy Award. What?
I am truly taken aback.
What happened in 1986? Was there some terrible mass extinction event in Hollywood?
There must have been some kind of, I don't know, nationwide gas leak or something. Just, I don't know, everyone put something different in the toothpaste. Movies released in 1986, Top Gun, Blue Velvet, Aliens.
Blue Velvet?
Top Gun's a great movie too, actually. You know what?
Yes, indeed. Big Trouble in Little China, Highlander.
Highlander, yeah.
Good God.
Mood.
Three amigos.
Three viewers will know. will know how we felt about Highlander.
How they didn't give Best Actor to Christoph Lambert for attempting to speak the English language for the first time ever in the film Highlander.
Now, was that the one you had Keeley on for? Yeah.
He hated it. He hated it so much.
Yeah,
it's funny to think of him
hating stuff. Yeah.
I will never not enjoy Highlander.
Add me to the list.
But as is my understanding.
The thing is, I think if you'd watched Highlander with us, you would have enjoyed it. You hated it.
I absolutely would have fucking loved Highlander. There's a big sword or some
shit. It's about marrying the person who will hate the film with the film they will hate. That's the skill in podcasting.
Yeah.
Keely probably might have had quite neutral relations to Crocodile Dundee.
I'm still going back to this like award panel, just being like watching Blue Velvet and just being like, makes no fucking sense. Know what I like? Yeah. I like crocodiles. Very.
I can't believe looking at Paul Hogan and thinking that he's Best Actor is.
Yeah.
I mean, good on you.
I guess he does.
I think we were such
play
an exotic
the character
commodity.
Of Crocodile Dundee.
Well, yeah, something that no one had ever triumphantly done before.
Yeah,
many people had tried.
I hate him. I hate him. Mm. I hate her. I'm not that keen on the Graydon Carter boyfriend. I'm very not keen on the Rupert Murdoch stand-in dad.
Mm.
They're just absolutely all despicable, and they should all be eaten by crocodiles.
That's right.
So. Also, I'm just looking at the Wikipedia plot summary here. Yeah. So, 2 encounters with a pimp and 2 attempted robberies. In the second encounter with a pimp, one of the wildest things in the film happens, which is the limousine driver, who Crocodile Dundee had previously been like, what tribe are you from, gets out of his car and to and to just catch the fleeing pimp, tears a boomerang-shaped ornament off of the back of his car and hurls it and gets him on the fucking backswing of the boomerang.
I did not know the implication that that's being what he did.
Yeah, that does happen.
The implication being that
the serious implication being that that Crocodile was right all along.
Yeah. Awaking some sort of ancestral aboriginal memory in himself.
Oh god.
There is a link between melanin and the humble boomerang, which just cannot be defeated.
Maybe the limousine driver is a Highlander.
Insane.
Race science as determined by Crocodile Dundee. The highest grossing film in Australia of all time.
Yeah, he kind of views races just as like a class system. You choose your weapon, you choose which kind of different stats you are.
Mm. That's right.
Yeah.
And so basically the end of the film is that, her boyfriend proposes to her at this dinner. Mick gets very upset.
She doesn't even flinch. She doesn't she doesn't go, oh my God, but I'm like really into this leathery guy over here. Oh no, I should at least like catch his eye.
I'm in love
with
this guy who's still wearing a hat with teeth on it, even at this black tie dinner.
Yeah. Also, do you not feel, I felt watching this, that she might have like made sure that he doesn't make himself look like an absolute tit in his like crocodile costume at this black tie event.
No. Because they all think it's charming. They're like, oh, he's so... He just only wears Crocodile.
Yeah, like in George of the
it's
Jungle.
It's his thing.
It's like George of the Jungle. To be fair, I wish we'd watched George of the Jungle.
What do you mean? There are fabrics that aren't Crocodile? Mm. Oh, no.
Would you call Crocodile skin
Crocodile underwear? Crocodile skin Y fronts.
He's just got the... He's got the head of the crocodile just poking out. That's nice.
Anyway, and so then he decides he's going to go walk about around the United States and explore, breaking the visa rules. and then eventually she manages to track him down to the subway where he's waiting to get on the subway to go walk about outside the city.
Yeah. His plan at the end of the movie is basically, I will go missing. And then, related to that, several young women in each state will go missing and never be seen again.
It's like definitely worth pointing out that like she presumably gets the paper to pay for him to go to New York. How is he planning on funding his walkabout? Does he also think that
he's going to protect people from crocodiles?
I see. So he really can only go to walk about in Florida.
He's like a witcher. He's just showing up in New Jersey and he's like, need any help with any crocodiles here? And they're like, no, it's New Jersey. Yeah.
All right, I'm in. I'm fucking in. as soon as you float the idea of Australian witcher, you fucking like kidding me?
Like going from town to town with his wagon.
You're going around here, Ozzy.
I'm told you have a problem with crocodiles.
He has like a number of swords in different metals that he uses to dispatch the crocodiles.
Just turn up in Boston. Nah? Nah?
Oh, the silver sword? That's for saltwater crocs.
Oh, surely you've got drowners then, or a griffin I could go at? All right, nah, go on.
I heard this is dragon country.
Oh, no. I'd love that.
But yeah, she shows up in the subway station, and it's a very crowded platform. She can't get to me. He's right at the other end. And so she, via two of the most New York guys who've ever lived, communicates that he shouldn't go because she loves him. And it's just two guys who are both like, hey, what you want me to fucking tell him? The other guy's like, yeah, what you want me to tell him?
No, the first guy's not supposed to be American, I don't think. The tall black guy, I don't think he's supposed to be American.
Is he not?
I don't think so.
He's supposed to be Aboriginal.
I found him to be very New York, but also I don't fucking know what's going on in that city. It's a multicultural melting pot.
It's a multicultural lacuna.
You get a
sort of Bader Meinhof of different cultures. Yes.
You get the Australians and the children of the newspaper magnates and the crocodiles all just living together.
And so. They managed via a lot of what you can only describe as, hey, whoa, I'm walking here, to communicate that she loves him. And he's like, right, I'm coming over there. And then he literally walks across people's heads.
He does, yes, he does. He crowd surfs.
And everyone's cheering as he does this, which doesn't seem like In yeah, my understanding like of New York, he would be immediately pushed onto the subway tracks.
Yeah, like this does not seem congruous with the general
picture. There would be grainy mobile phone footage of him being slapped to death by a 4'5" Puerto Rican woman. It would be like, you little Australian bitch, you think you can walk on my head.
Yeah, and he's trying to evade her by running diagonally because he learned from the cross.
Yeah, that is right.
And then the movie just fucking ends.
That's the end. She's like, I love you. And he's like, do you?
Yeah, all right.
All right, I love you too. And despite the fact that there's nothing...
All right, well, you're obviously fallen worthy.
Remotely about either of them. They are the most deeply unlovable pair. Ugh.
She's like, I love you. And he's like, what are you, gay?
Yeah.
Also, presumably, this poor bloke, after he's been he's been ditched by his boss's daughter, is presumably going to now lose his job, which I don't feel is very pro worker of her.
Or she's going to lose her job because she's his boss.
Her job. Yeah, no, I know.
She's not going to lose her job.
The woman who is not just the daughter of the CEO, but also shagging the editor. Like, they really did not set her up to be to be the underdog of the story, did they?
Really, this film is a critique of America's love affair with at-will employment.
Fuck's sake.
that's the subtext of Crocodile Dundee.
This was in The Love Guru as well, isn't it? About how she's the daughter of the rich daughter who's trying to prove herself.
The hockey team.
I've got to go to Australia and get nearly killed by a crocodile just like anyone else in the company.
Mm.
In fact, if anything, it was harder for me to get to that point.
I was like, listen, Sue, I don't like it any more than you do, but I fucked the leathery Australian man when I was your age, and that's just what you're going to have to do. So suck it up. You want to be an editor? Fuck that leathery old man.
What are you going to do? You got to go door-to-door murdering crocodiles. That's the only way to succeed.
Mm.
Not giving you a handout, kid.
The misogyny of the 80s led to such huge gaps in attractiveness. Huge, uncancellable gaps. Just seeing them in the same frame is unbelievable.
I'm like absolutely disgusting, as has been well documented, and I think that he is absolutely repugnant.
Disgusting, just a disgusting man.
Absolutely would not.
I'd be very interested. I truly think that now that Wolf Creek is out and has been out for some years. This is an unwatchable movie without thinking that this is a sinister man stalking his prey. Because it is truly the way that he pursues her through the bush and stalks her. And then, like, the way he just carries that. I'm down on my notes here. He carries an inherently untrustable knife.
It's a very big knife.
Do we have to talk about the line?
It certainly is a knife.
You call that a knife.
Yeah, but just because it's really the only thing I knew about this film, and like we were like almost at the end, and George was just like, he hasn't said the line. Why hasn't he said the line? He was getting very, very exercised by it, and I was like, he has said the line. He complimented her wagon. Like, I don't know what you want him to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's a very, very famous line, and it like every other element of this film. Was like it is from another film.
Yeah. So, because success in a knife fight is determined by the size of your relative knives.
Okay,
as
first
we know.
Of all, that's right.
Yeah.
But like when he says you call that a knife, this is a knife. That's like a line from the kind of enjoyable action adventure comedy romp that it kind of purports to be. Yeah. She is playing like
That's a line from Crocodile Dundee 2, which is the film Crocodile Dundee 1 should have been.
She is playing a kind of dead-eyed kind of femme fatale from maybe like a John Huston film. That's the kind of, that's sort of the vibe. She's the woman from Chinatown. That's the vibe she's kind of sort of giving off. Throughout, this is a film made in New York, in the 80s, sort of boogie woogie piano soundtrack, like in Ghostbusters, and the direction is like Noah Baumbach. It is fucking bizarre.
It is. I stand by my thing that every scene in this movie pretty much feels like a disconnected sketch made up by tourism companies for Australia, or I guess New York, but really just Australia, because it's so weird watching this and being like, I trying to picture myself in a cinema where people are losing their shit at the screen. Like, there's a long sequence where he finds a guy doing coke and he's like, oh, you're all blocked up, huh? And he like puts the coke in a bowl, pours boiling water over it, then like, which is so crazy for a PG movie, and then puts like a cloth over his head and puts his head over the thing. And he like, you know, tries to inhale the coke, thinking that he's just giving him a cure to unblock his nostrils.
And then she's like, you just ruined $300 worth of cocaine, Mick. And he's like, what's cocaine?
Yeah.
And I was really hoping for a scene there where they just do cocaine together. Crikey. You and I should start a business.
We should start a Goanna restaurant. We should honestly start a Goanna restaurant. Yeah. You know that Goanna I cooked for you back out in the bush? I honestly think if we took that here, you, me, our business together, you put the reviews in the newspaper.
Out of hollowed out crocodile's head. How's that? That's a good idea. You know what? I actually think you're the smartest and most beautiful person I've ever met in my entire life. Look at your wagon.
Yeah. Annie, look at your wagon.
Crocodile Dundee. Yeah.
There you go. There's a film.
There it is. And that's probably what happens in Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles, 2001.
That's Crocodile Dundee 3. We're skipping a whole Crocodile Dundee.
Yes, indeed.
That's the sad part.
Oh, I hope I'll be able to keep up.
The kind of like sort of Sunset Boulevard.
There's like, there's some curse that Tom has been put under where the phases of the moon will determine when he is next forced to watch a Crocodile Dundee film and under what circumstances.
Nah. That would only be good for me if like the third Crocodile Dundee is like the BoJack Horseman. And even then, it's not because I want that. It's just I would love to see this man suffer.
I've never seen BoJack Horseman because I believe that the half man, half horse is an affront to God.
But he's not a centaur. He's just a horse.
Yeah, but he stands on his hind legs and he wears clothes and is therefore aware of both sin and his own nakedness. So I think God doesn't go for that.
Mm. Kermit the Frog is fine because he's not aware of his own nakedness.
Yeah. And he's not a saltwater frog.
Okay.
Also true.
BoJack Horseman might go in the sea. You could plausibly see it.
BoJack Horseman.
He's too tall to whisper to.
Is destined for an eternity in hell.
Much like Marmaduke the Hell Dog.
Much like Marmaduke the Hell Dog.
I think it's interesting that you say that because that is essentially a lot of the plot of BoJack Horseman. You would really enjoy the show.
All right. Well,
God
final,
damn.
Final judgment.
Final thought.
How many out of five crikeys? How do we rate this film?
Zero crikeys. I hated it.
I'll give it one crikey just on the basis that it showed me a nice cow and
fine.
Big truck. Okay. I enjoyed that.
Okay, one crikey for the nice cow, but the cow is very early on.
I will give it two crikeys on the basis of we had the cow, we had the absolute wagon of an ass.
Yeah, which, but you can have a wagon
also,
anywhere.
There were various points where the film did make me laugh out loud. And admittedly, I was kind of laughing at the film rather than with the film. But nevertheless, there were moments of genuine entertainment in there where I was like, okay, this has amused me.
Okay, so that is an aggregate score of 4 out of a 15 possible crikeys.
Yeah. So it's getting a below 30% mood score.
I'm trying to look up the movie that this is reminding me of, which is the movie that was made up that was all sketches featuring A-listers.
Oh, the
Do you
one
remember
with
this?
The Aristocrats?
Movie 47 or something?
Riley has talked about this on an episode of Trash Future before.
It is something that Riley would absolutely
be obsessed
with. It's
from like the early 2000s, right?
It was like a development hell almost
from it. It was so bad.
Fuck. Yeah, it's really bad.
Is it where the whole thing takes place inside a phone? Is that the concept of it? Or like,
that's the Emoji Movie, but I'm sure that's not what you're talking about.
The Emoji Movie I have also seen for a podcast, God help me.
Movie 43.
Movie 43.
And not as I thought, The Aristocrats, which is a completely completely different thing.
Yeah. It's about those lovely animated cats.
Yes, that's right. That's right. They're very nice.
Yeah.
They are wonderful.
They are wonderful.
We love those little guys.
Love those little guys.
Yeah. Our next guest has arrived. Amazing.
And on that,
yeah.
So,
hell yeah.
So it remains for us only.
Only to say, Tom, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
For making me watch this wonderful cultural artifact.
Dog shit.
Which, of course.
Dog shit film.
Yeah.
Yeah, grossed a budget of $8 million and $8 million Australian dollars and grossed a box office of $328 million US dollars.
Oh my
incredible.
God. And that's in 1986 as well.
Yeah.
Yes, and also a contrast of 1986 Australian to US dollars. So that's like $4 million US dollars.
That's a hell of a lot
of dollars.
That is. That's
yeah.
A lot of dollary dues. Yeah.
It's fucked up.
It's fucked up, man.
It's fucked up.
Oh, this is a really punchy ending.
Is there anything you'd like to plug to our loyal hogs?
Yeah, I've got a podcast. It's called BigSoftTitty.png. It's me and my wonderful partner, Demi. It's got no fucking format or anything, but people like it. And I stream over on Twitch at twitch.tv/TomWalkerIsGood. Oh, and if you have Amazon Prime, I've got a special up there called Very Very. It's kind of a mime show, but it's good.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's good.
It's all about how Tom's miming being a bushman who meets a woman from New York.
No. And murders her in cold fucking blood.
A murderous mime would be a good show.
Turns her into a bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. God.
A crocodile
with
a human
bag. Movie.
Anyway. Right. Well, it's been a pleasure, as always. A delight. And thank you very much for being a $5 Patreon subscriber. We will see you all very soon. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.